gotta answer the phone. Answer the phone.
Answer the phone, goddammit!
There's nothing on my screen to answer. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus! Answer the phone!
I'm trying!
Answer the phone!
It's not on here. I got nothing to answer. There's no button to push.
Well, why not?
Answer. Here.
Answer. Sorry. They're not available. Nobody's available. Oh!
What are you freaking
Oh, my God! Some ugly guy's on.
What are you freaking
what?
Oh, my God. Now it's echoing.
Oh, my Jesus.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I can hear myself.
Not anymore. You can't because I muted the friggin' mic.
You muted it. And now you're talking and no words are coming out.
Oh!
Oh!
Gotta have myself a bevy.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Come on! Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Joel levels up to 3, Barry runs for 5, and Michael forgets he's EDT plus 1. All that and more on Late Night. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in southwest New Hampshire, here's Joel, Barry, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 147 from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And also from the Monadnock region in the southwest corner, this is Joel.
And from Woodstock, Illinois, congratulations. If you've made it here, you survived show 146. This is Michael, the Virtual Youper.
Yes, 146, which just got out last night, put out last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I'm already taking the show notes out of order, because I got a notification at 10:45 last Sunday night that said, all your websites have been hacked, and we have disabled them. And that came from the web hosting company 1&1,
which
where all this is. And sure enough, there was a WordPress hack, and all my PHP files had one very long line of code added to every PHP file in WordPress.
Nice, nice.
And so, needless to say, I called them and 1&1, and let's put it this way. I'm about done with 1&1. Now, I got to say that I never had really too many problems with their service as far as the actual system being up.
Mm-hmm.
It's always up. I've only had one issue before where the system was not working properly, I have problems with their service help.
Whatever do you mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Because
you mean lack of service from 1&1?
Let's put it this way.
I'm shocked.
Let's put it this way. I tried to call them 2 times, and both times I was on hold for over 20 minutes and had to hang up because I had to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have to wait 20 minutes on hold to get service. So I emailed them, and the responses I got back were, you're an idiot, you don't know what you're talking about, we do, and sorry. And it's like...
What?
Yeah, basically, that's basically what they're telling me. I said, look, this thing occurred on Sunday, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your software caught it,
mm-hmm.
Okay? That's good. Thank you for catching it. Since there's many, 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 many files that I would have to change,
mm-hmm.
couldn't you, do you have any kind of backup system where we could roll it back, say, to Friday? Because I really haven't done much to the websites.
Right.
And so I said, if you roll it back to Friday before the event happened, then we should be fine.
Yes.
We can't do that because actually you were infected long before that and we don't have backups that go that far. And so I go, really? So I go in and I look and I said, yes, there was one file that had Sunday's date on it. That was the time of the attack.
Right.
Apparently what I'm thinking is their software caught it and before the attack script,
yep,
whatever it was, got all the way through, it probably stopped it.
It segregated.
So it had changed this, but I'm thinking that the attack script went in, added this file to, or right, this line to all the code, and then touched the files back to their original dates, because you can do that in Linux.
Mm-hmm.
You can touch a file and put any date you want on it.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So if you came in and you listed it and got the dates, put the line in, and then touched it back to the original dates, guess what? It looks like they've been there since I loaded them.
Right, and never touched.
But they couldn't figure that out at 1&1. And they told me, oh, well, these dates, these files were obviously infected long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have backups that go back that far. And it dawned, I mean, I didn't say this to them because I've run into similar situations with them talking like this before. But I said, well, if it happened long ago, then why didn't your virus checker that's catch running 24/7 catch it then and it only caught it tonight?
Right. What? Yeah. Is it because the planets were aligned in the correct...
And by the way, yeah, what their virus checker does is it goes in and it changes the permissions on the file that it thinks is infected to write only by the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Which means I couldn't even look at it. I had to go in and change the mode to 700 if you, mm-hmm, you know, Linux.
Right.
And then quickly go in, delete the file, because if I went in and looked at the file and all of a sudden it booted me out. And I logged back in, and that file was changed back to write-only for the user. So it booted me out and changed the file back. So that's how fast the virus checker,
right,
checked the files. Okay. Well, so then what I was doing is I was going in, changing it to 700, quickly deleting the one line, saving it, and then changing the to 755.
That's not a pain in the ass. No, yeah, not at all.
And I would have to do that for every frickin' file in WordPress, PHP file in WordPress. So, you know, but they wouldn't help me. So I finally ended up, I found the files that I had changed because I modified some of the files to get the great looking late night QRM website that's there.
Yeah.
And I went in and fixed those. Actually, I found them. I found copies of
on
them
on
that machine right there, my old MacBook Pro.
Right.
And so I went in and I downloaded and got the latest WordPress, put a fresh copy of WordPress on there, copied up those files that I had modified, put them in there, and then linked it up. The database was fine. Luckily, the database is fine because all the content is in the database.
Right.
So, and I got the thing back up. But it took me a couple days to figure out what I was going to do, actually look for the files I changed. Lesson two here is...
back up all your shows.
And every time WordPerfect gets updated, back the frickin'... not just the database. I back up the databases all the time, so the content's safe.
Right.
But you got to back up WordPress, too.
Interesting. Now, see...
Yeah, so... And I did not do that. And shame on me for not backing up the WordPress.
Lesson learned now?
Yes,
lesson learned. I wouldn't have known to do that. I would not.
Well, you know.
You know, until you're in the thick of it,
yeah,
you wouldn't think to do it.
Right. Yeah, so. So that was my fun at the beginning of the week. Thus, show 144, or 145 and 146 got out even later.
Mm-hmm.
145 was already a week late.
Right.
And it didn't get out until Wednesday because of that.
What the hell keeps... Hold on a second.
The bottles.
I moved those. It's on your table.
Oh, yeah. I got a whole bunch of bottles over here, too.
It sounds like a brewery.
It is a brewery.
Shamil. Shamaga.
Hasha Flasha Flapper Bladed. Whatever the heck they say.
So I'm about done with one-on-one only because when something does go wrong, and not that it happens very often, but when something does, you cannot depend on them to help you.
That's kind of sad.
And that's
come
bad.
To the pasty side, my friend.
I will talk to you. I will talk to you.
Excuse me.
Yes, as soon as I get home. I've been on the road all week.
Right. And it can wait because, frankly, I'm not sure when my year is up on one-on-one. But
who cares? Cancel anyway.
Well, I can cancel. But we got some time to set it up. It'll take a little bit of time to move it over and stuff. What are you doing? Are you ripping apart my old MacBook Pro?
It wasn't charging. The little green light of happiness was not illuminated.
Is it illuminated now?
It is illuminated now.
Okay.
So what am I doing? Ripping apart to make better.
Okay. So anyway, so needless to say, but and then I got 146 out last night.
Right.
So
which I haven't listened to yet, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I was listening to the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour earlier today rather than our show.
And I loved being on the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour. All of us dancing up a storm.
I think the dance area is the most luxurious.
I love that. We were dancing the fade out.
Exactly. And you know what? I think my footwork was better than the other two. I'm just saying, you know.
I kept fading out at the wrong time, you know. And then, there it is. It was my time to shine and I'd fade out.
No, and then
damn hangouts. Well,
the thing is when we were having all those fade in and fade outs, were all of us here? Was Barty, you, me, and Michael, were all four of us?
We have hangout issues every frickin' week.
So why do we keep using it?
Well, Barry had no microphone.
It's better than Skype.
You couldn't hear it.
Oh, I forgot to mention, by the way. Sorry about this. My wife owns part of a service that's much like Hangout, but has better audio quality and bought spaces for 100 participants.
Yeah, Mumble.
No.
Not Mumble?
Different one.
What's it called?
Because
we tried Mumble.
Treble.
No, it was not Treble. It was.
I thought she told me Mumble.
She had Mumble, but then she actually bought another one that was even more betterer.
Well, we'll see. I mean, Hangout's not bad. I think most
Hangout's not bad. You're right. It gave us a show topic, and people make fun of us internationally for it.
Yes.
Well, yeah. It's made us famous. It's made us what we are, you know. We're the fade-out guys.
Exactly. I love looking like a doomcough.
I think most of our problems happen to be bandwidth issues. Still.
We need a better band.
Even though it's... I mean, if these guys are talking about our most recent ones, they don't realize that what we're putting out right now is extremely good compared to the first episodes of the show. Where, you know, it was like, is that Michael? We can't tell. I guess we better turn off the video. We're talking to a single square.
Circle gets the square.
And an 8-bit representation, video representation of Michael.
And all of us are using Apple gear then, too. I mean, if you really want to...
Hey, it's Minecraft Michael.
Minecraft Michael, that's good. Because I can remember back in the days when I was using a Windows machine. It was real super awesome then.
Yeah.
That was entertaining, yes.
Yeah. So if you think... I mean, we're thinking we're doing good here, and
I guess it's all... Wait, I'm going to quote Dave. It's all relative.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And by the way, we got many comments from our Canadian friends. So you have to go check out the website.
I never look at our website.
Yeah, you should.
I don't even remember.
On which show? On the last one?
LateNightQRM.com.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
By the way, also in the latest Love Hate Things, Anthony does a real good breakdown of why we podcast. Yeah. I think we're in the same category as him there, so...
We do it because it's fun, and we like it.
You betcha. God and damn it!
For no other reason.
So I can sit there and have a complete meltdown on the air. And
that's right.
But I felt so much better afterwards, you know that?
And we're going to go up there next year. We're definitely going to make it.
Yes. Well, where
I love it when he says that.
Yeah, we're definitely going to make it, this time for sure.
and wherever it's going to be.
I was telling Joel.
There's no guarantees.
Yeah, that they're going to have one?
Well, there's going to be one. Actually, I think Bob's pushing for it to be at
Vegas.
At Toronto.
Toronto would be... Well, Toronto's about the same distance, right? Hamilton's not far from Toronto.
I think Bob should host it. That's not far for you.
Oh, if Bob hosted it, that would be a...
Wait a minute.
I'm skipping on a jump.
Isn't it Bob in the western side of Canada?
No. Bob's...
No. That's Shane.
Bob's in the Quebec area.
He's in Quebec?
Quebec.
Bob's in Montreal.
Montreal. Oh, he's actually in Montreal?
He's a suburb of Montreal, yes.
Okay. Oh, boy, that's close.
Well, we're only relatively 2 hours and 30 minutes from the Canadian border.
And then we can call it... I came up with a name for it. It's Podcasters Barely Across Borders.
I love it.
So,
PBAB.
PBAB. We'll have that.
P-b-b.
Don't freak up. I do have Podcasters Without Borders.
Yep.
I've registered the name.
Podcasters Without Borders would work.
That's going to have to. We should announce that since you guys are coming the end of September.
Blob.
Or actually, third week of September. Yeah. We should announce that roundtable. The late night QRM roundtable is going to be that week.
In Copper Harbor.
Are you guys still good for those dates?
I already took the time off.
I'm good.
Okay.
Don't cut him off.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, I think we should announce right now that weekend should be the late night QRM roundtable.
Roundtable, yes, in the first
of... If you can make your way to Copper Harbor, we'll find some way of...
And that'll be the first of a series of Podcasters Without Borders roundtables.
It'll be part of that.
And we'll make it as long as you get your passport so we can get across the frickin' border.
I already went to the post office and started paperwork.
So yeah. That is the weekend. For those listening, that is the weekend of the 19th, 20th, and 21st. The late night QRM roundtable.
Right. Don't forget to bring your tents.
No, please.
if you bring a tent, I have plenty of woods for you to set up in free of charge.
Okay.
I'll be having
all the Wi-Fi room. You can consume.
Wow. Thanks, but I'm a hotel kind of girl.
Yeah, but
there'll be no trouble finding a hotel that time of the year.
But after last week's pre-show, we might not have a place to stay.
Well, there might be one less place on the list. But
I'm not above renting an RV.
Half the people in that establishment are with me on this, actually. There were many conversations after that show. And for the listeners probably thinking I just completely lost it. Like, well, he's so upset about... There's more to it than that. But I'm not taking it any further. Enough is enough.
Right. What? When there's only one place in town that does takeout, and the next one is 3 hours away, and they say, sorry, we're not doing takeout. I'm sorry. You should be upset.
But I think
again, there's more to it than that.
There's probably multiple layers.
And the beer was flat. No, it's freshly brewed, so.
well,
that's another location.
At the brewery, but
at the brewery. It's freshly brewed.
My God, it's the brewery.
Yeah.
What can go wrong at the brewery? Don't answer that.
Okay. All right. So much fun. So I got to say, last week we talked about... I'm getting back on topics.
Oh, okay.
Last week we talked about I was going to run the Hula Hustle 5K.
Yes.
And good old Manchester, New Hampshire.
Manch Vegas, baby. Manch Vegas.
Manch Vegas, which was right next to the frickin' airport is where we ran.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran it. I made it.
Congratulations.
And
congratulations.
I came in 270 out of 330 or something like
damn
that.
Damn respectable for your first
and
run,
and I thought that was pretty good. And I got to tell you, though, there were some things that made me humble during the experience. The first one was I was... when we took off, we went down this hill, and then we went... Yeah, we went up... we were actually going up Brown Ave.
Right.
Okay. And I realized, I looked at the map before, I said, oh, crap, that hill we went down?
Yeah
we got to come back up that at the end. So the first humbling experience I had was I was coming up the hill, and I was running up the hill, and I got about halfway up the hill, and I said, hey, this isn't as bad as I thought. Yeah. And then an 80-year-old passed me. So I said, humbling, very humbling. So then I'm coming up toward the finish line,
yep.
Humbling number two. I was coming up toward the finish line. Mm-hmm. First of all, I got to say, and your lovely bride told me this, that it's neat because, you know, they've got the electronic sensors, so yep. You get, you
know, bib numbers.
And as soon as you cross the line, your mm-hmm. name comes up on a computer.
Yep.
And they make a big deal. They announce your name and make a big deal of it yep. and everything. So I said, well, at least I got that coming for me. So I'm approaching the finish line, and I see all the people, and all the people are there. And they're kind of like swelling in toward the center, and they're cheering. They're going, go, go, go. I said, wow, do they do this for every person that crosses the line? You know? And I'm like, wow, this is kind of neat, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to announce my name and everything. And then I hear this pew, pew behind me. And it's a motorcycle, a police motorcycle, basically telling me to kind of get out of the way because the leader in the 10K race was right behind me and about to pass me.
Oh, okay.
So he passes me, and he goes in, and that's what all the cheering was about, and they announced his name, the winner of the 10K! Ah, and they're going on and on and on, and while they're still going on and on and on, I pass the finish line, doing 5K.
Mm-hmm.
And so my name wasn't even mentioned because they were still talking about the 10K winner. So that was humbling experience number three. And also humbling combined with humbling experience number four, that I ran the 5K just slightly longer than the guy who ran the 10K. So, okay. So I'm thinking, okay, well, at least, you know, humbling experience. I'm still glad I did it.
Yep.
And on my way home, I get an email, and I look at the email. Oh, look, they posted the results, and that's when I found out I was 270th.
Huh?
And I said, oh, that's good. And I said, and out of my group, which was age 50 to 59,
yep.
I was number 16. I said, oh, wow, that's not bad. Out of how many? 16.
Your first one.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
Beer.
So okay. Now, and the final humbling thing that happened was I looked at, they emailed the results and it said, okay, I came in 270th. But then I also noticed that there were two 270ths. Uh-huh. So I said, I came in tie with somebody. Right. No, I was the second 270th mm-hmm, person. Mm-hmm. And the one right above me was a 4-year-old girl from Sturbridge, Massachusetts.
I loved it when you told me that.
So, but I it was a humbling experience, but then I finally looked on the bright side of things, and I came up with it. I said, look at this. I tied a person that is 52 years younger than me.
Yes, you
betcha.
That's so, the way to look at it.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
And she can't read.
Yeah.
She can't read a map, and
so,
you can.
So we had this week. We had our our software staff meeting.
Yes,
and a functional staff meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there. And
I like to call those dysfunctional staff
meetings. And my boss, who has, you know, had the slideshows up, and he had to give out an award. I'll tell you about the award later because it was funny. But he gave out this one award. And he goes, and finally, this person doesn't realize this, but we have to congratulate. And up pops a picture of me running in the Hula Hustle 5K in front of basically mostly women with strollers. And they said, and Barry completed his third 5K since he started running. And the comments from there were like, what'd you have to do? Muscle out all the people, the women with strollers?
Oh, my God.
So that was...
Let the ribbing begin.
Humbling experience number, what are we up to, 6? So, and I said, how did you get that? I had to pay money to get those. And I did pay money and got the pictures because there was a photographer there and they were snapping pictures of all the people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had two pictures, one right by the finish line and one halfway through.
Right.
Through the thing. So I got both of them.
Right, right. You know what? It's a monumental moment. I mean, yeah. It's a big deal. It really, truly is.
But I had fun, even though I was by myself, even though, you know, your wife pooped out of that one. I understand.
No, she hasn't. You know what? I pity you. I truly do, because she might be a little tiny thing, but she's a feisty fighter.
I know. She didn't want to actually race with me.
And I was worried about him bringing on the wrath of the Canadians.
I got your text. Oh, her ankle hurts.
You know what?
I am going to die.
It's your funeral, Chief.
The wrath of Debbie.
That's okay. That's all right. There will be a race someday.
Okay, up until that statement there, Perry, I was going to say we're so proud of you, and now I'm going to say it's been nice knowing you.
That was probably my last 5K.
You know, the first time, let's see, what's the next race where you both are running?
Probably the one up here.
Yeah, I won't be surprised when she drops back,
yeah,
slows her pace to get behind you.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you feel an incredibly stabbing pain in the back of your head. Well, she's throwing rocks while running.
Yep, I can see it. Now, I understand she has a bad ankle and it was best for her to stay home because it had been bothering her for quite some time.
2 weeks, yeah. It's
and she was signed up to do the 10K.
She heard it on the last 10K.
And that really, it really, really sucks during running season.
Yes. She, as a matter of fact, it's funny you guys have mentioned that because she came to me earlier this week, you know, sitting and doing husband-wife talk, and she said, oh, God. She says, you know what? I'm at a point now. She bought different sneakers, an ankle support, and something else. And she says, you know, going out and starting. She started, actually due to ingress, started out, you know, moving around and then picked up the pace to the point where feeling the ankle out, see if it's going to have the support there, which it is. And she's like, I can't wait to get back running. Like, you know, she ran, I think, just about every day. And which I said, yeah, because you're a much happier person when you get a run in a day.
You know, it's kind of a, for me anyway, it's almost like a meditation thing when I go out there. Yep. You just kind of, it takes, you know, the first 10 minutes suck, but after the first 10 minutes, then you kind of get in the zone and you just go, except for last Wednesday, which really sucked for me.
Yesterday for me.
Yeah, for one thing, Wednesday was really hot and humid, and I got home early because I had an eye doctor appointment. Of course, my eyes were dilated, and I said, oh, no problem, my glasses will change and darken. Yeah, they didn't really, so I kind of... That was bothering me because I'm walking and running down the street in sunlight, dilated eyes.
Yeah,
and it was probably about 85 degrees and 90% humidity.
Oh, certainly uncomfortable.
And I was doing it earlier. I was doing it at 3 o'clock, which, you know, I don't know about you guys, but during the day, anytime between 2 and 3 o'clock, that is my downtime. I should not try to do any. If I'm at work, if I'm sitting in front of a computer, I will fall asleep. And there's nothing I can do about it. Between 2 and 3 o'clock is my time to get up and walk around and get status from people. Because that's the only way I can freaking stay awake.
Okay.
And it's every day. You know, I should be taking a cat nap at that time. But, you know, this is America. And, you know, we don't take breaks like that in corporate America.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, I tried to run, and I got probably about 2.5K into it,
Peter,
and I had to turn around and come back up, and I was going up a hill, and I started walking. I said, I can't do this. Yeah. Now, on the other hand, last night was great. I did a good time.
Yeah.
And I did it at night. It's cooler, and I this is kind of a new personal record because I used to, in my hill, my road, I was running down my road. You know, I always walk up to P Peace Drive, which is at the top of the hill, because the hill is pretty steep.
It's
you can get winded walking up it.
Yes.
Okay. And then I start running down, and there's up and down, but it's not as bad as that hill. And coming back, I always plan it so that I can stop at the beginning of that hill coming back, because it's a steep climb back up that hill. Well, Friday, I was still feeling good when I got to the end point, and I ran up the hill.
Damn.
I didn't run it fast,
right?
But I didn't stop, and I didn't. I said, well, I'm going to start going up the hill, and I'll see how far I get.
Mm-hmm.
I made it up and over, and I ran all the way to the house. And then I ran past the house, and I ran up in the driveway, because I said, I'm going to get to 7K. So I ran until I hit 7K, and then I stopped. So
that's impressive.
Yeah. So I was really impressed. I was impressed because I ran up the frickin' hill.
That hill's steep.
Yeah. And so I was happy. Oh, my bottles are rattling.
Yes, I hear them.
Yeah. Sorry. Let me separate them.
Separate the bottles.
You know, even here in Woodstock, they realize I'm on the show and they're attacking all my portals right now. I don't get it.
Well, you know, the big anomaly was occurring here in Boston.
Yes.
So a bunch of people went down. It was awful quiet at the end of this week because everybody was busy farming for the big anomaly in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was attacking anything. The only people going out were newbies. And they were attacking stuff. And as a matter of fact, let me finish the running thing because we're almost done. I gotta say, my next 5K is the Cigna 5K,
mm-hmm.
And I'm running with the company team,
mm-hmm.
and that is on the 14th of August. That's a Thursday night, I believe, and so I will be running. And then it's also in Manch, Vegas.
There you go.
And so that's my next one. It's coming up in a couple of weeks.
And, excited?
Oh yeah. That one's supposed to be fun, they said. They said there's a whole ton of people. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That's, you know, the ones that I have attended with my wife.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The Millennium Mile, the Hula Shuffle, the Halloween, what the hell is it? The Trick or Trot.
Mm.
That's a fun one in October.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably do that one.
Then there was a couple of the other ones, but they're always a pretty good turnout. And whenever they have the runs in Manchester, it's really well done.
Wonder if I can get a Lurch outfit.
Yeah, yeah. I have seen Superman. I have seen Wonder Woman. I have seen every comic book hero you could just about imagine.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Last year, Debbie ran as the Joker.
Oh, really?
Yep.
See, my problem is if I put makeup on, it's going to be all off of me from sweat at the end.
Okay, but there's a lot. Yeah. You're in the same boat with a lot of other folks.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's big. I've got video on my phone of that of the Trick or Trot, and it was a really cool race. Yeah. It's a big event. I mean, there's vendors all over the place. It's like a show that has the race.
Well, I was disappointed because we went down to the Riverfest. It was Jeffrey's Riverfest. Which is nowhere near a river. I mean, there is a river that goes through town.
There's a puddle in the parking lot.
Well, we've decided, and we may have mentioned this last year, but...
We did, I think.
There's a river fest, and there is a river that goes through town, but mm-hmm. where the actual festival is, it's on the common, and up away from the river, mm-hmm. and it's the closest thing it's near is we have a dam there.
Mm-hmm.
That is across the river,
yes.
But it was for the old mill that used to be there.
The mill building across the road.
Mill building. So they have this dam there, and they have it all... I mean, it's still in use, but it's the old-style dam with the old controls and everything, so it's kind of a historic thing.
Historical. Looks cool.
I said, why don't we call it the River Fest? Why don't we call it the Jaffrey Dam Summer Festival?
I'm with it.
You know, I think they should change the name.
It has a ring to it.
Jaffrey Dam Summer Festival.
You know what? I think there are those that may have issue with that.
I don't understand.
Yeah, no. No sense of humor.
It's there. It's next to the dam.
It's the damn festival.
They just don't understand a damn thing.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't. They don't understand one damn thing.
Yeah, well, what can you say?
So, God, where are we?
We are.
Oh, we were doing Riverfest.
1, 2, 3, 4. No, you still have one more up in there.
Oh, yeah. My iPhone, I think the battery's dying in it. It's not keeping a charge very well. I did some tests. I went online because people have been having issues with iPhone battery life.
iPhone 5 battery life?
Huh?
iPhone 5 battery life?
iOS 7 battery life.
So iOS 7. You know what? Mine never drained like it does now.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I did everything they said, which, you know, I rebooted. Do a reboot of it.
Yeah.
And then charge it up to 100%, then let it totally drain.
Yeah.
Well, I did that on Friday going to work. I had it at 100%. Instead of plugging it in the car like I usually do, I was listening to podcasts, and I had Ingress up. And about 10 minutes from work, I've got an hour's drive, so about 50 minutes into the drive,
mm-hmm.
It shut itself off because the battery was drained.
That's severe.
And so then I took it in to work, and I plugged it in, and I had it charge 100 to 100%, mm-hmm. basically on the charger all day.
Yep.
And I did the same thing on the way home. I got in the car. It was at 100%.
Yep.
I put podcasts on. I had Ingress going. I was driving toward home, and about 5 minutes from where I work, there's the Merrimack Outlet Mall.
Yeah, yeah.
Our shopping mm-hmm. center. And I noticed there's like five portals up there, and I noticed all but one was green. I said, well, this can't be. So I made the right turn. Went up into the shopping center, and I walked around the shopping center. So I was up there maybe a total of about 20, 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was walking up toward the end of the mall where I was parked, or it's an outside shopping center,
right.
I got the first notification that I was down to 10% on my battery. And I said, we're talking like I might have been out there 30 minutes
right.
on it. So then I looked and I said, well, I don't know whether I bought AppleCare for this. So I went online and checked. No, I hadn't bought AppleCare for my phone. And a battery change, you have to send it in.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about 3 to 5 days. And the price is $79.99 with like a $6, you know, fee, handling fee and you know,
right.
postal and handling fee or whatever. So I'm looking at like $80-some.
And 5 days with no phone.
And 5 days without any phone, which I don't know that I can do that. So then I look at the Mophie juice packs, and I said, well, for $99, I can get a Mophie juice pack.
Yeah.
Because all I have to do is get this phone through 2 more months.
Right.
Because I'm getting an iPhone 6.
Right.
And I said, it's about the same price. The only difference is, when I'm done with this phone and I get my iPhone 6, I can give the Mophie juice pack to my wife, who has the 5S.
The 5S.
Juice box.
My wife calls hers the Mophie juice box.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm just thinking, like, you know, this juice box with a straw right. coming out.
And the other thing is they were available at Radio Shack, and so I opted to go with the Mophie juice box. approach. Got one, so yeah, I'm using that. It's actually working fairly well now.
Yeah.
And like I said, and the other thing, when I get the iPhone 6, and you know, all rumors are still there, if they do have the larger screen iPhone 6, that's the one I'm going to get.
Right.
In which case, I'm going to have to get a different Mophie
juice box,
or I might get the Otter.
The Otterbox Defender.
Yeah, Defender on there for that one. But I'm going to have to wait until they come out with it. But I'm definitely getting one, because with playing Ingress and other things, your battery goes quick. Ingress sucks your battery dry too.
Yeah.
So that's my iPhone story for the day, for the week.
Well, if I may,
yep.
In my next little segment, which was something we did today, obviously it was the Riverfest,
mm-hmm.
Which my beautiful bride and I shot up here. Which rolls us into the next subject topic down, but why I swung by and saw Kenny.
Yep.
But, I mean, one of the things we did, we said, hey, let's take a walk around the river, you know, the damn summer river fest.
Yeah, the Jeffrey, damn summer.
The damn summer river fest, whatever.
Festival, yeah.
And
what was funny about that, too, before you continue, is you came up here to Jeffrey. And we had to go down to Nashua.
Yes.
So we kind of crossed places.
And in doing so, you know, we walked around. We saw a lot of cool vendors and with their wares and tables full of miscellaneous sundries, shall we call it. And which was interesting, but to me that was more like a bazaar.
Yeah.
Or basically it's a super-sized yard sale.
The past couple of years, and I don't know whether they did it, they used to have a giant game of musical chairs.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, which was kind of fun to watch. But it started off, I forget how many chairs, but I mean, it took a while.
To whittle them down.
Yeah.
So we walked around that, we checked out a bunch of things. My wife found a couple of things that she wanted to buy, so we bought those and brought them back up to the car, and then from there, you know, basically I was waiting because you guys were coming back from Nashua, only to get to the highlight of the Jedi Knight. And that's where you, as the Jedi Master, took me out, who had pretty much written Ingress off as the dumbest piece of tech shit that I've ever downloaded on a phone ever. Because I've nearly crashed my friggin' car playing it. The second I went to even try and do something, because I didn't know the right order in which to first do things, regardless of the training, it's like, you're under attack, you're dead. And I'm like, this sucks, I hate this friggin' game, it's a waste of goddamn time. And I had I was literally 98% of the mindset that I'm writing it off. You said, let's go out, and we'll do some portals.
And what was nice was that the frogs conveniently, the night before, had gone out and turned Peterborough green.
Yes, so there was a...
And I was going to go. I was tempted to go out last night. I said, nope, Joel's coming up tomorrow. So we got a big training ground right there.
And you know what? I can honestly say, and Michael, I know you can appreciate this. It was at one point after nearly... over a decade of friendship where Barry's yelling at me in the car, stop hitting the fucking button, I'm not ready yet. Because we're driving around, and I'm like, I can attack.
We're driving, okay? You can hack all you want while we're driving.
Yes. However.
But I was trying to find a parking spot, and he's busy trying to attack a portal as I'm driving in and out of the area. I said, don't attack yet!
And it's literally, so there's a method to this. You have to get on the outer edge when you want to attack. When you want to deploy your resonators, yes. And da-da-da-da-da, which I didn't know any of this.
When you want to attack, when you get higher... You may have to walk around to the resonators to get them all because you know, for me, the best place to attack is dead center on the
right,
on the portal.
On the portal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I grabbed it, embraced it with both hands, and the first time you can actually find out you can successfully kick the shit out of something somebody else set up made me feel good. Realistically, I can say, all right, and you know, he's like, stop attacking, stop fighting. And I said, you know me, I like to fight. So it's like, I can't help it. It's in my nature, confrontation.
We're going to attack, but there's a way to do it.
So, he was able
to. Wait till you see the white of the portal.
Yes. So I was able, he throttled me back. And I started to learn the technique, where you want to be, what you want to do, and I'm starting to grasp that up to, and I know it's no big deal for you guys who are like, you know, the level 9, level 8 Jedi Knight crap, you know, you're way to hell up there. So far,
you did good.
That, I mean, I went from a level 1, having done nothing.
And I looked, I said, how many AP points do you have? And I looked at it, he showed me his phone, he had zero.
Zero.
Zero AP. I said, have you played yet?
I said, I tried to do two things. I nearly wrecked an Oldsmobile. No.
So,
So, and then in 2 hours?
Yeah, about that, if that.
Hit level 3. Laid out a bunch of fields.
Yep.
With his, obviously, under his tutelage. Was able to lay the red. But, let me tell you just how much fun the game is and how supremely lacking, I'm going to call it, that the training in which you need to be able to way to play this game.
Mm-hmm.
The training is there, yes. It says, okay, now we're going to do this, now we're going to do this. And I did the training session.
Yeah.
And I finished this training session still with very little clue as mm-hmm. far as the real world, how to approach something.
And how to do it in what order.
Exactly, in what order. You got to deploy this. And then after you deploy it, then you want to link them. And then you blah, blah, blah. And then you want to hack it after you deploy your resonators.
Yeah, because you get more stuff.
Because you get more stuff. And then from there, you can take that one plus the one you already did, and you try to link those two together. And then you get through to make a link, and then you create a field. Now, I kind of just rattled it off. But nowhere in any of that training does it say it just that plain and simple. Plain, simple English.
There are other things out there you can, if you dig, you can find. There's a field guide.
There's always somebody out there selling a manual for $29.99.
No, it's free. It's online. But yeah.
It's not as complicated as they make it.
And you need to start looking at the Intel map because, you
know, I have it on my phone.
Yeah, before we went out. I scoped out the Intel map and I knew where we were going.
You know, I was doing that regularly. Yeah. Even as frustrated as I was with the game, I was still looking to see where was green and where was blue.
Yeah.
I will say, hands down, it's addictive. It's totally friggin' fun, and it is an absolute blast to play with somebody else playing as well.
And,
if two people in one car,
I gotta tell you,
it's fun.
This is the first time I've ever played with another person.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, I learned all the stuff by, getting on the Hangouts, and mm-hmm. people would tell me what to do, and you know, you get hints here and there from people, and I'd go out, but I've never really played with
someone else sitting in the car.
It is
walking.
A hell of a lot more fun when there's two of you playing.
It gives you strategy. You do strategy. Yeah. Where do we need to go? What we're going to do? What's going to happen? It's a lot. It's a really fun game.
Yeah.
So much so, I mean. You know, it's which goes along with the next story. Coincidentally, I'm coming back up next Saturday, but I see some portals getting hacked in our.
Well, if there's anything green up here, then we may have to travel some.
Well,
we try to keep this area a little blue.
Yes, you know, blue skies.
Blue skies are good.
Indeed.
Green fields suck.
I also,
I call it green slime.
You can appreciate this. Totally see where having my iPhone mounted to the windshield of my motorcycle is going to be super convenient while playing Ingress.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, driving around and being able to pull over on a dime. Because in a car, you got to have to, you know, weave and navigate and do things, to pull over and then you go for a walk. On my bike, I can damn near drive up on top of it.
Yeah, the only thing you won't be able to do is... Well, you might be able to drive and hack.
Left hand. I can left hand hack as long as I'm not shifting.
All right.
You know, so it's, I could see where that's going to be pretty darn beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
But it's more fun with two people. Yeah. Hands down.
We were having a blast out there, right?
Yeah, so let's walk over here. And then you got the funniest thing, too. You'll totally appreciate this, all six listeners. I'm going to say we're probably up to six.
Yeah.
Which is, first of all, imagine a Prius, a nice, super tree huggy Prius, which I love Prius not because I like to hug trees, because I like green in my wallet. That's why I think they're smart.
That's why I have one.
But the idea, so you see a little Prius, and then you see the two of us pretty much pour out of the thing.
Yeah.
When the doors open, it's like,
clown car. Everybody out of the clown car.
Here he jumps out at 6'8". I get out at 6'5". And it's the looks we get are stellar. They're classic. I mean, I saw eyes the size of saucers. I've seen, because people, and then we're walking up and down the street holding electronic doodads, noses into them, and people are looking like, what the hell is a circus in town?
I don't think a Sinex crew ever looked like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're walking around, we're talking to each other, and going, well, the resonators, but if you do a hack, and I can imagine anybody who doesn't play this game, thinks, wow, what the hell are these two
giants? It's got to be a TARDIS, otherwise they wouldn't fit in there.
Honestly, it's quite some of the looks we even got, you know, we had got tonight were quite comical.
I
didn't notice.
I had my nose.
Nose was in your nexus. And I was looking around and other people, I'm watching people in the cars driving by and they watch you and then, you happen to look up from your phone and you see people, little children in the car pointing and staring as the car goes by. And I thought, okay, well, who cares? I don't care. We're having fun.
That's right. You tend to lose yourself in the game. And that's like I said, my wife called me. You look like an escaped mental patient wandering up and down the street, staring at a small screen and mumbling to yourself.
Walking to a monument and then tapping a telephone screen frantically. Yeah. Then walking away 12 feet, turning around and coming back. And then you talk.
Yeah, crap. I need the key for over here. I got to go walk up and get that key. Now I gotta go back.
It was actually really, I enjoyed it a lot. I can see definitely you and I going on as a team. Yeah. I'm totally psyched about going out with my wife.
Yep.
I mean, because she's kicking pretty major. She's a hardcore gamer.
And you guys live down in a big area.
Big battlefield area. So, I mean, realistically, she actually comes home from work. I get home from work. She's like, I have 15 portal keys just from today. And I'm like, well, a lot of you freaking die.
You could go to the end of your street and get 15 portal keys.
She walks, she's like, I'm going for a walk now to the cemetery to go attack things. Coming? But, so I see these walks now. They took an all new importance for me now.
I don't mind going out antiquing now, as long as I can bring my next
Our evening walks will, one, it's great exercise, and two, you're right, I will have a freshly charged battery in the iPhone for doing that. Yes. But, it was a blast, and thank you.
Because
I really was at that point where I'm like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and obviously I'm doing whatever I'm doing is wrong.
Yeah, we got you up there. You're kind of getting the idea, and then things will just come.
And then they start to click.
Common sense stuff will come into play once you get to learn all the...
Like so many other things. Now I'm going to research the heck out of it. I didn't do due diligence in doing the homework.
Yeah,
I just downloaded this app and then magically expected to know what the hell I was supposed to do.
Now there's some learning to do. When you put out resonators, if you're sitting right on the portal, then all your resonators are going to be very close to the portal, which means the next person that comes along to attack it. It's real easy because they can sit on the portal and go, they're all gone. So you want to attack from there, but then you want to walk out so that the portal is right on the hairy edge of your scanner circle, whatever they call that, the area. And then you deploy there because then it deploys the resonators as far away from the portal as possible.
So, it was pretty darn cool. I have to say, I really, really enjoyed it.
Congratulations for level 3. I made him take pictures of his screens when he hit level 2 and when he hit level 3.
And I am so jazzed to actually go to work. And I don't mean actually get to work, but the ride to work, I go through some great territories. I see me going an hour early.
And we kind of had to stop in Peterborough for two reasons. Well, one thing, it was getting to be 8 o'clock Central Daylight time.
Yes.
Yes.
And two, you got the 10% warning on your battery, so we had to give it up. Peterborough is still half green, and the night is still young.
Yes, when I started getting your phone is nearly dead.
Needless to say, all the Ingress gaming machines are on the chargers right now. There may be some late night Ingress
recon work.
Yes, go out, take out the rest of those.
Yeah. So thanks, and I'm hooked, and I'm totally, totally, totally looking forward to starting to level up.
Yep. And it takes a little longer every time you level up because you need twice as many AP points. Yeah.
But I've got some good friends of mine that are level 9s.
Yep, that's why I am.
And one friend. Excuse me. I think Mike just made level 10.
Oh, really? Good. Good for him.
He's been playing this game since he was a beta tester for it when it first came out.
I've got to just get a whole bunch of AP. I got my merit badges.
Right.
I call them merit badges. Merit badges. They're badges, and I call them merit badges because they look like merit badges.
Right.
Yes, they do.
And so I got them all for level 10. Everything I need for level 10, I just got to get.
He drops stuff for me constantly at work. He's like, hey, he works second shift. Yeah. He's like, hey, man. I'm like, what? He goes, I'm going to drop a bunch of stuff in your cubicle. And I'll doing second shift. I go in.
Okay, that explains it. I don't know how you got all that stuff in your inventory. He had a full inventory, but he had zero no AP points.
Exactly. I looked,
how did you do that?
I just walked into my cubicle and I'm like, hey, I wonder what Mike left me. And I go, and I open up and I'm like, oh, look. Cha-ding, 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 cha-ding. I'm just acquiring. He's like, he goes, oh, this level 4 stuff and 5 stuff, I can't even use it.
Yeah, but you can use it as soon as you level up.
And he's dropping it for me. And I had your level 2 XMP or resonators, and then level 3s, level 4s. He's all turrets, shields. And I'm like, Mike, what is all this shit? He goes, yeah, you're going to need it. Just take it.
Between him and me, we'll get you leveled up quick.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then we can take on the Coop and Nimble out here. And believe me, you can hook up with a couple people down there. And the Enlightened are getting stronger.
Well, I'm glad to hear this report because, you know, I've actually gotten some feedback from the last couple of shows going, you know, after hearing all the trouble that you guys are going through with it, I'm not sure I want to get into this Ingress thing. And I'm like, ah, no, wait a minute. No, you don't get it. And while you guys, by the way, while you guys were discussing this, I went online after fighting off some of the attacks that were going on. They must know that I'm busy right now. But then I went and found that my youngest son has been busy making portals and must have been a day or two ago because they're starting to decay. So I was recharging all my son's portals while you guys were talking.
Very good. Well, hopefully the 72-hour decay will go back to normal because I know at the Boston thing, I was looking at the totals, and they needed to get 7 million or 700 million MU, and that was supposedly going to return the decay back to 10 days. And
What is an MU?
Mine units.
Okay.
Which is something else, and they really don't count for anything except for the resistance versus the Enlightened.
Okay.
Okay. Because, you know, once you... Before it went up to 16, level 16, it only went up to level 8. When you got level 8, then, you know, the only thing you did was try to make big fields and do ops and stuff like that to get MUs, which are mine units. And, you know, the bigger the field and the more population density that it covers, the more MU you get.
Okay.
So
that was the reward at that point.
Uh-oh, Michael's MU is empty.
Yes, I need to attend to something. I'll be back.
Okay.
So can you improv until I get back? I don't want to miss bottom gear.
No problem.
Right.
So that's what the ops thing is. But now that they've got 16 levels, and although you don't, none of the you get, you can have more, hold more XM, and you can link things further apart.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they, as far as the levels of the weapons and everything else, they stop at 8. So you know, it's just a prestige thing,
right? Well, I can
beyond level 8.
To do that jump from your 8 to 9, your 9 to 10, like you said, that AP point thing, you're doing it a while. I could see it's not going to happen in a day.
Oh no, it takes longer every time you do it, and that's, I said, look, I made level 8, and now I'm going to concentrate on making bigger fields and getting more MU, and I'm going to help people out, and, you know, I'm going to back off a little bit. You know, up until level 8, I was playing
hardcore.
And I played like that, but then I started getting close to level 9, and, you know, I got it within, you know, I said, oh, look how close I am to level 9. Okay, so then I started playing hard again for a few days, probably about 2 weeks.
Right.
And I got level 9. But now I'm the same thing. And then I noticed I only had one merit badge to get. And so I was running out getting unique portals because that was one of the merit badges I was close on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was running around trying to find unique portals. And then I got that merit badge. And now all I have to do is get AP. Well, AP means I just got to go out, attack, take on, you know, grab new portals,
right?
Make fields, because, you know, fields, no matter what the size, you get the same AP points you just for making a field.
What was it, 1500?
Yeah, it's 15 something, 20 or something like that. And so,
by the way, thanks for helping me make two fields today.
Three fields, really?
Three fields, yeah. I made three fields today.
Made three fields. We'll get you more, because that's the way to get a lot of points.
Right.
So, we'll get more fields for you. And okay. The way we were doing it, mm-hmm. and I was a little leery about, you know, because we were up in Dublin, and we grabbed stuff there. I was leery about making long links because of all the event stuff that was going on down in Boston. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to accidentally throw any blockers up. Oh, my God. Michael's, he's a Republican.
No!
Michael's a Republican.
He's got his little elephant.
He's got an elephant.
Figurine. But, what?
What the hell is that?
It feels like another episode of What the Hell Is That?
Yeah. Is that an Eskimo? Okay, that's yes. What I thought.
He's looking around at stuff that's in the basement to show us. In the basement bunker.
So that was our Ingress play for this week. And by the way, I have played it on both. I actually gave it. I found a way to actually listen to podcasts and play Ingress on the iPhone. So from about the middle of the week up, I was only taking my iPhone in the car. And the only thing is, I had to get used to the smaller display. Yeah, because my fingers automatically, as I told Joel, I've been driving in the car, and like today even, we were going down to Nashua, and I'm with Anne-Marie, and, well, you know, I said, okay, I'm not going to play Ingress on the way down, but I swear to God, we're in the car, and she was driving, right? And
oh, I'd have been playing. I'm playing.
Every time we got close to, and I know where all the portals are. Every time we got close to a portal, my thumb started twitching. What the heck? You know.
That's too funny. You know, yeah, if she was driving, I'd be playing.
Well, the problem was is I didn't have my Mophie pack yet.
Battery.
I would have killed the... Well, the battery was dead by the time we got down to the car dealership. Right, anyway. Right. So, and that was out without playing Ingress. And if I would have played Ingress, I wouldn't have even gotten through Jaffrey before the battery would have been dead.
So, that's a major pain in the butt.
Yeah. So, but yes, you will get it, and you get to know where all the portals are.
Yeah.
And like I said, you don't even look down. You just go blink, blink.
I know where there's a level 5 right now that it's got, you know, I owe that one a visit. As soon as I can get ranked up high enough, I'm going after it. Yeah.
Sure. And you
it's, a very level, it's the
level,
first. It's
level a, 3, you could probably attack a 5 if it was a level 5.
It's the first and only one that I ever tried to do before our training session.
Yeah.
That where I absolutely had my ass handed to me inside of like 0.2 seconds.
And that wasn't anybody doing it to you.
That was just the mods.
That was the mods.
See, thing. I know what it was. It was mods on, were on the resonators, which I'm sure we just bored some people to.
Oh, yeah. Sleep. They're bored to death. That's all right. We just lost all those new people. Unless they're English players. So.
Or just getting into it. Honestly, give it a real honest try. If you know, I know that there's folks out there, some of our Canadian brethren.
Oh, look, we got a new
Garfield.
Listener, Garfield.
Give it an honest
Garfield
couple of
looks
weeks.
Like he's got a giant, ugly.
He's
got his teddy bear. I only saw his hand in the middle. I said, does Garfield have some kind of form of cancer?
Oh, jeez. Why? Why?
Like he's got some kind of skin cancer. Melanoma going there.
Are we ready to roll into the next segment?
Yeah, why don't we? It's time once again for Bottom Gear.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and tonight we have a very special segment of Bottom Gear. For any of those folks who have listened to shows in the past, you've heard Barry and I all but covet Michael's Jeep. We've watched videos on YouTube about them. We have researched pricing. We have, you know, researched tire size versus fuel consumption versus all the good, wonderful, yummy things about Jeeps, only to discover...
We've even had prayer groups
for Jeeps. Only to discover that when I went to jump into my buddy's Jeep, his Wrangler, I didn't fit. I mean, I didn't not just fit a little. I didn't fit a lot. As in, I turned on the lights, threw it in four-wheel drive, changed the radio station, and reset the tripometer, all with my knees in the dashboard. And that seat couldn't possibly move any further than where it was at. Well, that's been eating away at me. And like I had said earlier, we came up to see my good friend Ken, who has a garage here locally in Jaffrey, and also happens to have a collection of Jeeps. And I was looking at one of the other ones that he was building, this blue one. He has his green Wrangler. And he says, you know, I got a black one out back. And, you know, I think we could probably do something with that. And I said, you know, I'm so brokenhearted the fact that I can't fit into these Jeeps to go drive them and enjoy them. He said, well, we'll make it fit. And I said, huh? So, out back we go. It's a 1994 Jeep Wrangler with a four-cylinder engine. So it's a little on the underpowered side, if you will, but that's exactly what I want. Because it also won't be a gas pig, provided I don't go crazy with the big tires. You know, if I go too big of a tire on there, it's just going to be massively underpowered. But as an it makes it more palatable as an everyday driver. So I jump in it, and it's rough. It is definitely what you call a diamond in the rough. However, he said, oh, I haven't started this Jeep since March. It sat out back in the back lot in the mud. We open up the canvas, you know, the door. It's actually got hard doors on it, half doors. Pops the key in it. Boom. I mean, this thing purrs.
Wow.
Like a kitten.
The old 2.5 liter.
Coated in mud. Because he used it to pull out his other Jeep, which was pulling out his buddy's rock crawler. And this one came to the rescue. It doesn't have the lift kit on it yet. It doesn't have the big monster tires on it yet. The whole body's been rhino lined. So that spray end bed liner that stops stuff from rusting, well, it stops it from rusting on that side. But it rusts from the back and it just holds it in place. So we'll be cutting the rhino lining off and patching in a lot of metal on the body. But he said, dude, let's make this one work. And I said, what? It's a five-speed. And I said, really, truly, we could modify the roll bar and I could move the seat almost 9 inches further back, unbolt it from the floor, weld and make brackets, put in new gussets. I can move the seat back. And I have to modify and kind of sweep the roll bar in the back of it. But I can make I could fit into this thing. Then put on the 3-inch body lift kit and a 4-inch suspension lift kit. And run my 33-inch tires on it, and really Jeep it up. We're gonna. I'm gonna have to extend the shifter handle, obviously, because I'm 9 inches further back, so I can reach no problem with the steering wheel, but reaching the shifter. So I said, "You know what, brother? Let's do it." And acquired a Jeep.
So
way cool.
So so that being said, next Saturday I'm back up here. It goes in the garage. We put it up on the lift, and we start making that punch list, the stuff that we're going to cut off, metal I got to buy, things we're going to weld on and replace, put the body lift kit on it.
Worst case, I mean, I don't know how much they cost, but you could, I mean, if the if the bucket, as they call it,
the tub.
I mean, sorry, the bucket, the tub. Mm-hmm. I'm still new at these Jeep things.
Yeah,
the tub is too far gone. You can go out and get a fiberglass one.
I can't do a fiberglass tub.
You can't do?
No. Do metal. Cut, but you
can still get a new
tub. Get a wide body.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly one of the things we were talking about, is putting a wider body on it if needed. But the reason why I can't do a fiberglass tub is mainly due to the fact because I'm moving the seat,
which is
bolted through and to the metal floor as well as the steel underneath it. If it's fiberglass, I lose that flexibility to move it further back
in
many respects. So staying with metal, but there's absolutely nothing that says I can't put all aluminum diamond plate in it. On the floor. Whoa, excuse me. That was the firehouse chicken. Yeah. So I am totally
this is
psyched.
So cool.
I can't wait to get up here next Saturday.
And it also, you know, gives us new topics to talk about on Bottom Gear.
Yeah, well, ever since, you know, with Michael and, oh, well, look, the snow, and I'm going to do what I call the Jeep driver's voice. Oh, look, the snow is 2.5 feet tall and drifts are blowing at 6 feet. I think I'll just take the Jeep through it. Any other vehicle, you're either plowing it out of the way or you're blowing it out of the way, but you're not just going to peruse right through 2.5 foot snow and look at dwarves.
Michael is having a blast, you know, doing a show and tell here. A silent show and tell from his mom's basement.
I think we've seen at least 3 of the 7 dwarves.
Yeah, 3 of the 7 dwarves. We saw Odie, Garfield, an Eskimo, an elephant.
So that's where we're going. And luckily for me, I already have the 33-inch tires mounted on rims that I left over from my old lifted pickup truck. 6 luggers that in my garage. Nice. So I'm like, well, I got the wheels and tires sorted out.
That would be a fun project.
Cool.
Too.
Definitely. Yeah. And so that's where we're going with it. I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of the 94.
You got to come up with a name for it, too.
Well, I'm going to let the Jeep tell me.
Okay.
You know, Wilson told me his name. And so I'm like, I'll wait for the Jeep. I don't even know. We'll just see what it tells me.
Yeah, as long as it's not the shit project.
I'm sure it's going to turn into that. I'm sure, as I had said to Ken, there are going to be mysteries. He said, well, let me put it to you this way. The motor training in this thing, you go, I know are solid. I know the rear end solid because I did them all. The frame, I have re-welded every square inch and reinforced every square inch of the frame of this Jeep. So the frame's never going to be an issue.
So it's just basically the body.
The body is shit.
Okay, so...
The body is complete shit.
But that's so readily available for a Jeep. I mean, you can buy bodies anywhere.
So the Holy Father is out, right?
Exactly. It is a very religious Jeep because it's got holes in areas.
Very holy.
But the nice thing is the Rhino lining is holding the rust and holes in place. So we'll be cutting that out. Now I'm sure I'll be swearing more than once when I'm trying to grind that shit off. So I have some good steel to weld on, too. But
that's true.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh God!
And what I plan on doing is documenting every single facet of it, photo document. Hmm. So you know, heck, it's something you could put on the website at some
point. Cool.
This is what we started off with. The doors don't close. This is bent. That fell off. Yeah. And then,
there's this Jeep.
Yeah, and then there's this Jeep.
Talking about Mike's Jeep. Now we're talking about Joel's Jeep.
Well, I had Jeep. I ever since I had seen your Jeep when you came up here, I'm Jeep jealous. And then you show photos with your rig your Jeep, and I'm
now
Jeep jealous.
Doubly Jeep jealous. You're both gonna have.
Well, then we'll have
you're
to
both gonna have Jeeps that barely move, and I have nothing.
Jeeps are fixable.
I have nothing but a Prius with 175,000 miles.
Yeah, but that does this in the snow.
That is true. Oh, but I think I got it down now. It's, oh crap, I forgot already. To turn off.
Square, circle, up, triangle, triangle, square, X, left.
It was a power button,
brake
gas.
Pedal.
No, gas. Oh, we'll hold the brake pedal in, but gas pedal, gas pedal.
Open the trunk lid three times, stand on one foot, and pirouette.
And then there was two more gas pedals somewhere along the line.
We got it in the show notes, the old show notes. Yeah. So. Well, it was like one of the cheat codes for one of the games back in the PS1. I remember calling my daughter up at one point in time. She's over at her mom's. And I said, hey, what's that code for the motocross GP racing? She was, what, 7 or 8? Square, circle, up, up, triangle, left, left. You know, and she's rattling off. And I'm calling her from my house because I'm like, I don't remember the damn code to unlock super speed or whatever the hell it was. So, it's nice to know your Prius has that same...
Yeah.
Same, little code system there, so you can stop there. Actually, you know what? I'll be surprised. I'm not speaking for you, but I won't... Let me rephrase this. I won't be surprised if, come the next big blizzard that we encounter, you ain't driving that Prius.
Oh, no, I won't. What do you mean? I won't.
In other words, you won't have it anymore.
Oh, I'll have it. Yeah, well... My wife and I were talking about a RAV4.
Yeah, here's the thing. There's talk, and then there's Barry's mentioned it 11 times. Talk.
Yeah, well, see, in order to get a RAV4, that means payments and...
Trading in the Prius.
Trading in the Prius, but it's 9 years old now, so it ain't going to get...
I think you'd be surprised.
Well, but
people
still
are chopping at the bit for used.
But the RAV4s aren't the cheapest things in the world. And mm-hmm. I'm, of course, because I commute a long distance, mm-hmm. I am not going to get your bottom of the line RAV4. I'm going to get at least middle package or upper middle package because I need my comfort.
Yeah, creature comforts and reliability. Comforts. Right.
Yeah. I need to have my climate control.
Mm-hmm.
I need to have my buttons in the right place to control on the steering wheel, to control the radio, and
see if they can add a hack button to the steering wheel.
That would be excellent. Can you imagine an Ingress-based package for your car with all the controls on your steering wheel? Wow. Something for Niantic to think about.
Or just coming out with a touchscreen.
No, I already have a touchscreen.
But one that you can mount to the steering wheel, so while you're driving, you can...
That's right. Heads-up display. Yeah. So your portals show up and...
On a virtual map in the middle of the windshield. So you miss your turn, but I found a green portal.
That's excellent. Excellent. All right. So that's probably...
So that's it. Yeah. So Jeep.
Oh, wait a minute. Michael's got something.
Oh, I heard about this in the podcast that shall not be named.
Yes.
And I wondered about how that played out, by the way.
Well, it's still an ongoing issue. So, as you've known, that I've got the service engine light that is almost permanently attached to my Jeep right now.
Oh, yes.
Although, that Project Jeep is in progress as well. We're trying to really get down to what's going on with the drive axles on that because, my Jeep has been smooth as silk for almost 300,000 miles, and now we're starting to have issues. So it's time to get that ironed out because I really think at this point that number one son is ready for that vehicle.
I just want to interrupt and say one thing. Could it be that it's because the engine is only running on one cylinder these days?
Well, that's another issue altogether.
And that is
why the service engine light is coming on. It's saying we're almost done here.
And it's
exit stage
it's,
left.
Its source of fuel is 90% antifreeze.
Well, that helps the gas go further.
Okay.
Bugger, somebody's attacking a portal on me. I'll let it go. Okay. So they're working on the drivetrain right now, trying to find out what's going on. Besides, it needs new tires. I mean, there's one thing about when it's 20, 30 below and you get in the vehicle on a 911 call and you go barreling down the road without letting the tires warm up. I know it's screwed the belts on the tires.
Mm-hmm.
They're all done.
Yeah.
But there's more than that going on. And before I spend another $800 in tires and still have a vehicle that's almost undrivable, I'd like to find out what else is going on. But that being said, of course, last week we were talking about the 99 Cadillac DeVille that as soon as I got into it, started having things happen, and then the service engine light came on. Well, this week I've been on the road, go figure. Mm-hmm. You know, that's shocking. And
you traveled?
Yeah, I know. But picked up a rental car from the same place that I picked up the rental car from. The rental car that I drove to Hamilton and back and around and through and around and 2,000 miles in a weekend.
Right.
And he goes, oh, I got a newer car for you today. I'm like, oh, great, fine, okay. This one's got a sunroof. Well, I don't think I'll use it, but all right. I'm going down the road. I just get out of the two-county area, get behind this RV, and I pass it. The first thing I notice is the smell of fuel.
Uh-oh.
As I go around the RV, and I was thinking, well, maybe the RV was leaking or something, but all right. Continue driving. Not much else really out of the ordinary. The gauges are all fine and everything, although it does seem to be surging once in a while. I get down to my client this week, park the vehicle, go in, and put in a full day's work, get out, turn the key, it starts up, and the service engine light comes on.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay, check engine. Engine's there.
It's there.
Vehicle's running. I don't have an ODB2 monitor with me in my back pocket to find out what the code is.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the book, get online. While I'm still sitting in the parking lot, I don't see anything for, you know, sometimes you can like hold the trip odometer button down when you turn on the ignition and push the brake and do the same thing that Barry has to do for traction control.
And it flashes and it out starts, the code and morphs and it code flashes with out the headlights.
Yes, yes. So you have to have somebody stand in front of it, count the headlight flashes. But no luck on this car. No, no such thing. And I see the ODB2 monitor cable connector hanging from the dashboard, not in its socket.
That's
it's
a
like,
good sign.
Somebody's looked at this recently. But I thought, well, maybe, you know, who knows? I'm low on fuel. I'll check the gas cap because that's like number one thing with a Chevy is the gas cap's not on tight.
Right.
So I get to the gas station. Gas cap does feel worn. Matter of fact, it really feels like it needs to be replaced, but put some fuel in it, put the gap back on after I pay. I turn the key in. Immediately, it's like the old days when you got the advanced timing way too far advanced. And finally, it kicks in and goes. Like, okay, well, I had things to do tonight, but I think I'm going to go directly to the hotel and find some place to eat nearby that I can walk. It's already late at night. I'm not going to try to call the rental car place. But I get there, and while I'm in the restaurant after parking the vehicle, I get online and find out that there isn't even a rental car office in the state of Wisconsin for this particular company. So I call them in the morning and said, hey, just to let you know, this is what happened last night. You know, just so you know, and tell me what you want to do. And he goes, oh, somebody just put cheap gas in it. And it's like, it's a flex fuel vehicle. It shouldn't matter. I mean, you should be able to put, you know, vodka in this thing and have it run.
Yep.
But I did my duty. I told him what was going on. He said, you know, Mike, there's nothing you can do. You can't turn the key on, hold the pedals down, and read it off the codes. There's no option in this vehicle. You've done your duty. You've told it to me. I've noted it on the contract. Drive it. Okay, that's fine. I said, I absolutely, positively have to be in Woodstock by, you know, Thursday night, Friday morning. So as long as it gets me there, I don't care if it breaks down on the way home.
Right.
Well, I do, but it's... So, yeah, it's... the service engine light is still on. The gas mileage has dropped from 30 down to 21 miles to the gallon.
That's good
so
enough.
So something is definitely amiss here. But... oh, well, you know, I brought it up to my wife. I said, you know, I don't know if it's coincidence or if it's just me. And my wife goes, it's just you. Oh, thanks.
it's
car knows somebody can understand it. It's time to go, oh, okay, I'm going to put up the trouble light for him because he'll take care of it.
Yeah, wow. Thanks. This is a Chevy you're driving?
Yeah, the Chevy Impala, but it's a different one. It's not one of the ones I've rented before.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's matter of fact, I rented a car. What was it? Tuesday.
Yeah.
I rented a car Tuesday when I had to drive out to corporate on the western side of Massachusetts. I have to say that it was okay. I wasn't overly enthralled, though.
Which one did you have?
I rented a 2013 Nissan Altima.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was a comfortable car. I mean, I fit in the thing, which I was impressed.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's just me from driving beaters all the time, but the steering felt squirrely.
Huh.
And it had wicked acceleration lag. I mean, my car, my 94 Oldsmobile, would out-accelerate this thing off the line.
Really?
Well, that's not the condition I've got with the Impalas I'm renting. They're peppy.
Yeah, I mean, this thing would go, like it goes like, you know, like a stabbed rat once you're on the highway, and would sail. But, you know, you dump your foot into it to the floor, and it's almost like turbo lag. But it's a non-turbo. And then it would build up. Where my car, I dropped the pedal. It's just like it goes. But, you know, I mean, it was reliable. It had air conditioning. I think that was the one day during the week where it was jumping on your bandwagon, Michael. Although your trips are much longer. But a long trip, 98 degrees outside. Yeah. I don't want to have to worry about the belts flying off or losing the air conditioning on a long road trip. I just know I want to be able to get there. And yeah, but I'm sorry to hear that about the Malibu. I'm surprised because they're usually pretty damn good vehicles too.
No, the rental car company was pretty sure it was abuse from the previous driver.
Huh.
Because this guy takes really good care of his vehicles,
right?
And he knows I take care of the vehicle when I've got it. He's like, you know, you're one of the few people that when you bring the rental car back in, I don't have to clean it,
right?
I do it anyhow, but I don't have to with you. That's very nice.
Right. It's not filthy. It's you know, it's got good gas in it.
Uh-huh. Yep. I put good gas in it. It's not full of Mountain Dew containers and chip bags.
It's French fries all over the floor.
No, it's I clean it up before I... Well, first of all, I don't let things accumulate in somebody else's vehicle. Now, if it's my vehicle, it's another story.
It's a different story. I got stuff all over the floor of my car.
Yeah.
So, and the trip's not over yet, but we'll talk about that offline.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
What?
I think we're out of topics. Unless, Michael, you got anything else?
No, other than my apologies for completely forgetting that I was in Central Time. I'm looking. Yeah, I got time before the show starts here. And why did Barry try to call me at 7 o'clock? I don't get it.
I do want to put out a thank you to our Canadian brothers. Because I tell you what, I was A, shocked, and B, totally, you know, tickled whenever I heard that.
The Marshall McLuhan? The
Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour.
Variety Hour. That was great. Anthony, I was cracking up.
And Bob, it's just when you hear, when I heard that, I was getting ready to jump in the shower, and I wired, you know, the computer speakers.
Yeah.
I have them in the bathroom.
Yep.
So I can plug it into my iPhone and turn it up loud enough so I can hear it over the water when coming out of the shower head. And sure enough, I'm standing in the shower and I hear that and I went, what?
I have to re-listen to the Bob stuff one because I was listening to that in the car and unfortunately, again, I was playing Ingress on my iPhone and listening to podcasts and that was before I figured out that you could adjust the volume of the Ingress voice over top of, you know, that's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And she blurted out a lot of Bob English stuff. So said, you know, I could download Bob stuff again and listen to it. So I will do that. I am going to download it again. Yeah, because it was interesting and it was just like, ah! You know, and you can't shut the Ingress lady up, you know?
If she talks, she tries to talk over everybody.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no consideration. Well, you can shut her up, but then you don't know when to hit the hack button.
Right. Yes, and that's important when you're driving.
Right.
Because you don't want to be looking down at the screen all the time while you're driving. That's a bad thing. Don't tell anybody.
Yes.
Somebody.
We at Late Night QRM do not endorse this.
Not at all.
Learn where your portals are. Hack from memory. All right. Well, we'll call this one, I think. And our musical guest this week is... Insert name of band here.
Boy, they're great.
They are great. They have such great hits. Again, we'll say to all the military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you do. Thanks for keeping us safe back here. And thanks for doing it and being underpaid for doing it. And especially you OCONUS guys, we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. But until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So with that, from the Monadnock region in the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And also from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the basement bunker in Woodstock, Illinois. And I'm losing my voice. Wonderful. This is Michael, the virtual Uper.
And we'll see.
And I didn't even have a rant tonight, and I'm still losing my voice.
That's right. Jeez. Okay, so we'll see you next week for show 148. Till then, here's insert band name here.
Tonight's musical guest is The Erotics with Last of the Rock and Roll, motherfuckers.
Good boy.